there are different kinds of surprises. A surprise birthday party, a Christmas present you weren't expecting, or perhaps just a kindness that you weren't prepared for. Those are good surprises. They're in the family of happiness and joy. But surprise can carry a heavier freight sometimes too. Expectations suddenly dashed, a promise broken. These kind of unwelcome surprises are more in the family of shock and disappointment. Today, my goal is for you to be surprised. And you'll have to decide what kind of surprise it is. And I suppose the fact that I'm telling you to be surprised makes it more difficult for you to be surprised, right? So maybe I've already messed this up, but we'll see how it goes. It might seem trite or cliche to say that this Annunciation ad Magnificat story is one of surprise. It's pretty obvious. The angel Gabriel appears to a young woman, an unexpected encounter, and it's about Mary expecting. Surprise! Or as Mary puts it, how can this be? Mary is surprised, to say the least. It is the announcement of the birth of one who is holy, divine, and human present together in this promised one. Here out of the blue, a most unexpected story. Surprise. But I want to wonder about where the real surprise is in this story. Much is focused on here of the miraculous nature of these events, the virgin birth of Jesus through Mary. It's right there in our Apostles' Creed, right? We say it, I believe in Jesus Christ who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And much more doctrine and devotion has developed and evolved around these events. In the Catholic and Orthodox Christian traditions, Mary is a very prominent figure. Adoring Mary as the mother of God, while also seeking to mostly emphasize about Mary her virginity, her purity, her loneliness, her obedience. In our little Protestant world, we're not sure what to make of all that, so we tend to do little with it at all, except on the third Sunday of Advent, and here we are. Our Protestant sensibilities are uncomfortable with some of the bells and smells of adoring and praying through Mary. And I also greatly appreciate feminist theology critiques that identify how portrayals of Mary that emphasize her obedience and purity can simply be a way, a not too subtle way, of keeping men at the top of the hierarchy. So with all that in mind about Mary and this story, if I were to ask you, do you believe this story? You'd probably think I was asking about those kind of doctrinal things. But I'd like to think of it more as I was wondering a couple weeks ago about what believing is, which is to wonder if you and I, if our lives reflect the claims of this story. If we entrust and pattern our lives to the story that is told here about who God is and who we are, about what this world is and what our place in it is about. It's not believing a doctrine, but accepting a claim on your life. Because where is the real surprise in this story? Well, how about this? God cares about this world and is at work in it. God needs people. There are people willing to be needed by God, and there is nothing impossible with God. Do you believe that? Well, while you consider that, I'd like to play around with the idea of surprise a bit and have you consider some other things too. When you pay attention to the extreme messed-upness of this world. Messed-upness is an advanced theological term that you learn in seminary. Are you surprised by it? When you consider the violence and division, the inequity and justice, the degradation and destruction in ways great and small, individual and nations, are you surprised? It It seems to me we have come not to be. And I think that's due partly to our weariness, seeing the persistence and pervasiveness of the mess. It's partly our cynicism. Nothing surprises me anymore, you'll hear me say sometimes. It's partly our complicity, knowing our part in the brokenness. Partly our feeling of powerlessness, unable to untangle the mess. And I think it's partly our theology, with the narrative that is often recited of sinful people in a sinful world with a God who must be paid for those sins. The story goes that this is a messed up world, that's just the way it is, and our best hope is for God to save us away from it. I'd like to say an aside a moment to my esteemed colleague, Jill Russell. Do you notice that I have not referred to James Allison for a while in a sermon? It's been, well, that's about to change. It's about to break that streak, so kind of keep track of that. Or maybe Jill keeps track of it with me, so. James Allison wrote a book that has one of my favorite titles, and it's called The Joy of Being Wrong. And if you want to skip several hundred pages of profound but quite intricate theology, his other books are much more readable. This one, not so much. I'll give you a summary instead, okay? Summary is this. We're wrong about ourselves, and we're wrong about our world, and we're wrong about God. Hooray! That's the joy part, the hooray. What we're wrong about with ourselves is that it is not natural for humanity to live in brokenness. And what we're wrong about with God is that God is not out to punish us for our sins. There is a news flash for all of us in this story. God did not send the angel Gabriel to Mary in order to set up a payment plan for our sins. That is not what it is about. God did send the angel Gabriel to Mary because God loves this world and God enters into it to free from death to life. And here's the rather odd-sounding thing that means for us, which is that we need to recover our surprise at the messed-upness of this world within us and around us. I want us to be shocked at violence and injustice. I want us to be grieved at divisions within us and around us. I want us to be taken aback by the degradation of God's world. Surprised because this is not the way God made the world to be. Shocked because God created us and this world is a place that can be beloved community. Because if we can hold on to that kind of surprise, feeling the affront of such brokenness, then I think we can hear this story of Mary in a particularly powerful way. Hear a different kind of surprise present in it for us. And that means I need to talk to you about this. Did you notice these in the pews yet this morning? Everybody should have one close enough to them. You might need to share a little bit. There's not one for everyone. What these are mosaics. They're images from the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth in Israel. And I was there in 2007, and for me, it is the spiritual epicenter of joy on earth. That is how I experience this place. There's mosaics from all over the world, and they're life-size. They're displayed in an outdoor courtyard, larger than life, really, and this is only about half of them. There's even more. Last Sunday, Pastor Joe was able to so vividly engage our imaginations to curate some scenes for us. And I just thought I couldn't pull that off this Sunday. I needed you to see some of these, to share some of that with you. Because when I saw them, I was stunned. I was shocked. I was surprised by their incredible beauty. They were, to me, vivid bearers of life and of joy. They embodied the Annunciation and birth stories together. But I want to tell you another part of my surprise, too. Because I had been for a couple of weeks in Israel, Palestine, and Egypt, and it was an intense experience. There is incredible beauty and history there, but there is also deep conflict and violence and tension. injustice and turmoil along every sort of political and religious and social fault line that you can think of. I had been to Bethlehem, and I had to go through a wall and people with machine guns guarding it in order to get there. It was awful. And then Nazareth itself has a Palestinian population primarily in the midst of Israel, and there's great turmoil. What I felt as I came to Nazareth was the heaviness of all that turmoil. And what I was experiencing, too, was the heaviness of my own life. I had recently been through a divorce, and I was feeling broken. I felt afraid of what was ahead for me as a person and as a parent and as a pastor. It was a difficult time. But in some ways, even as my own situation had some perspective in this context, I felt like a kindred spirit of brokenness in that setting. And then Nazareth. When I came there, I wasn't expecting much, pun intended. But then I was ambushed. I was ambushed by joy, surprise. What sense did it make in the midst of all this turmoil in the world, the turmoil in my life, in the messed upness of this world, to have a place such as the Basilica of the Annunciation, to have such a tenacious foothold of utter beauty and joy and life? I was surprised, and I still am. And here's what I'd like you to notice about these mosaics. There's plenty more that you can notice, too. You can take these home with you, all right? Put them on your refrigerators this week. With all the color and beauty and diversity, the power and light and life of these mosaics, look at the faces. Look at Mary and the Christ child. There's barely a smile on any of them. I describe this as a place of joy, but it's different than a smile. Joy can include that. These images do make me smile. But I believe that the joy of these images is something different. What these expressions, what those eyes contain, is much more about this: that God cares about and is at work in this world, that God needs people, that there are people willing to be needed by God, and that nothing is impossible with God. That's what those expressions, those eyes in these mosaics say to me. I think they exude that kind of joy, power and beauty and tenderness, persistence and insistence and fierceness, poetry and light and life all present. These images, these stories do not ignore the messed upness of our world. Instead, they defy and resist and subvert and refuse to live by its power. They proclaim a different narrative for our lives and for our world. Do you believe that? It's not a test. It's not a pass or fail question for you today. It's our calling as a community. As a community of faith in Christ. Sometimes I will believe that for you, and sometimes you will believe that for me. And together we'll have this story form our lives because we believe it for God's world. And we do so with a sense of surprise. To have the faith not to accept the brokenness of this world, the faith to be taken aback by rather than accept any diminishment of how God created us to be, to have the faith to accept who God is and who God needs us to be, that God cares about this world and is at work in it, that God needs people, that there are people in this world who are willing to be needed by God, and that nothing is impossible with God. Surprise. Thanks be to God.